Hello and welcome. My name is the Reverend Canon Doug Richards. I am the vicar here at Christ Church Cathedral in Ottawa. As we celebrate National Indigenous Day of Prayer, I would like to invite you into a conversation with Albert Dumont, our Algonquin teacher in residence. We met on a beautiful sunny day in a park by the Rideau River to enjoy our time together and to share with nature surrounding us. I hope you enjoy the wisdom that Albert shares with us today.
It's a beautiful day, as we were just saying, how wonderful it is to be alive and, you know, to see that clear blue sky and feel the warmth of the sun and hear the birds singing. You know, there's construction workers over there, and you know, that's it's just a community, it's who we are, I guess, as citizens living in Algonquin territory in this beautiful city called Ottawa. It's pretty awesome, you know. And just noticing that there's we're in the shade of an oak tree, and it's an old oak, as you can tell about how big it is. It's a pretty huge oak tree, and you know, the oak speaks of strength, you know, and long life and health. You know, it's just a great symbol of power, I guess, and you know, and authority maybe, and why it's necessary, because you know, its branches are just inches away from a weeping willow. And weeping willow, even though it's as round or maybe even rounder than the oak is, it's not near as strong. And that there's teachings there, you know, between these two trees. Like, one is mighty, and the other one, it's beautiful and grand, but it's not as physically strong as the other one. And that too speaks about the community and who we are as human beings, that they both do what Creator expects of them. The willow, you know, birds will sit on its branches the same as they do on the branches of the oak tree. You know, and the river is here. And, you know, every time I come to this river, I imagine birch bark canoes with indigenous families in them. And they're going to wherever, to do whatever, to feast, you know, to visit with relatives, or to fish, or to hunt, or to pick berries, or to gather and speak about the wellness of the territory. I imagine them, you know, and you know, with feathers and with you know, the just the regalia of the time, and how everything was just perfect. You know, there's a duck that just flew by, and where is it going? You know, it knows where it's going. Creator knows. The good spirit knows, and that's the difference between the duck and the river and us. You know. We don't know for sure where we're going, because that's what it's like to be a human being. We really don't know. We don't know with 100% accuracy if we're still going to be here next week. I'm talking about as an individual, you know. An accident could happen, or whatever could happen. Something could happen, and all of a sudden we're gone from this physical place, and we go to a spiritual place. And I think that's why we should always be live our life in such a way that we be prepared to hear that honor song that we hope will come whenever we die physically. You know, it's, for me, anyways, I expect to hear an honor song sung by my relatives in that spiritual place whenever I enter there to be with them. I try to live my life in that kind of way, you know, to contribute, to volunteer, to act for those who cannot act for themselves, you know, those people that are being oppressed somehow. And whenever we think about that, you know, about oppression and sicknesses, We think about, like, you know, COVID-19. We think about, you know, brutality and police forces and what have you. Like, I just want to say this about that area. I know that on my reserve, we have a police service as well. And I guess it's been there for over 40 years. But in those 40 years, the reserve police officers have never, ever shot an indigenous person dead. They very seldom unholstered their guns, and they're among First Nations people all the time. So I wonder why it is that police services in cities or towns, provincial police officers, RCMP officers, when they have interaction with Native people, the gun comes out and often somebody is dead. How is it that on a reserve they can de-escalate things, you know, use tactics that will calm things down, and in the mainstream they can't do that whenever it comes to our people? And that's not right, you know. No such things occur in the forest. Like, it's true enough that the lynx, for instance, needs to eat, and the hawk needs to eat, and these things, and there's death in the forest, but it's all figured out. There's no crime in the forest. There's no injustice, really. All it is the way life is. But human beings are different. We have the ability as human beings to be able to say, this is wrong, this is against Creator, this is against the good spirit, and we need to do something about it. Those are teachings, you know, whenever we look at this river today, because there's hardly a breeze, and the river is so calm. You know, it's like we could see stuff that's floating on the river, you know, moving downstream, but it's just to say that it's moving. It's just barely moving. Morning. So whenever there's a great heron, great blue heron, there just soaring just above the few feet from the water, and it's landing now. That's one of the most beautiful birds, you know, and they're so patient. And that's one thing too about people, you know, we're not patient enough. I think even the person that considers himself or herself to be a very, very patient person is not really all that patient. Whenever we compare ourselves or gauge that patience with that of a heron that's standing in the lake and waiting for something to eat to come by. Or a hawk, for instance. You know, I've always noticed that a hawk will sit on a tree near a field, and it's waiting to see a mouse or a snake or whatever in the field that it could go to. And I've driven by an area in the morning, and I see a hawk in the tree. And I come back 7 or 8 hours later, and the hawk is still sitting on the very same branch, and he's still waiting for something to move in the field that he could focus on and see that mouse or a snake and whatever and go and have something to eat. So the patience of a hawk, or the ability to forgive, like a forest is so forgiving. You know, there's a forest near where I live, and it has it was cut out of all its softwood trees last winter, and it looks like a war zone, because the machine that's used to cut the trees, the tree that wants to harvest, it cuts it very close to the ground, but the trees that are in the way, another part of that machine grabs the tree and literally rips it from its roots, and then it throws it aside. And so these trees, these smaller trees, or these trees that that aren't for the harvest, they're laying here and there, helter-skelter. There's branches of the trees that they want to take out, and they're laying all over the place. And it does look like a war zone. It looks like it's not pretty in any way. It's pretty sad looking. And whenever I wandered through that forest in the springtime, I could hear the birds singing their mating songs. I could see birds gathering things for nest. I could see the spiders and the ants and caterpillars and things on the ground. And right away, like I've seen where there's berries, I saw strawberry blossoms and little raspberry plants. Because whenever a forest is wounded, everything will work together to bring it back. And it's like they have forgiven who has done that harm to them. And all they know is that they've got to bring back the forest as it was before the machinery came and destroyed everything that was most everything that was around it. And that's how I see it too, as a human being. You know, I try to be as forgiving as I possibly can, because I know that's what the Creator expects of me. I know that sometimes, though, whenever an injustice is done, and it's so terrible that it impacts my children and my grandchildren and even my next generation, that then it's hard to forgive. It's really, I haven't found it yet, the ability to forgive, like the Indian Act, and whoever it was that brought the Indian Act down on the indigenous peoples. I don't know. It's not for me, I don't think, to say I forgive those people that did such a thing. All I know is that I try, and I guess I can just make a request for leniency, maybe, or something like that for the to happen whenever that time of whenever we have to answer for the wrongs we did in this life. I look at the forest for a lot of things. You know, the forest is my cathedral. Its doors are never closed under any circumstance, because it's not just our place of worship. It's also our place of medicine and healing, to heal mentally and psychologically and you know, emotionally, and even spiritually, to get stronger spiritually. To know more, to have answers to what is spirituality. Why is it there? Is it real? Well, the forest is where to go, to mark out a circle, and to ponder these things about what is spirituality. You know, when I think about what it is to be a human being, and I think about how the mind, the human mind, works, and what you know, that for some people to understand about teachings, and to understand about duty and purpose, it seems like it's impossible for them, because their mind frame is set on acquiring wealth. Their mind frame is about duty to country, or to their province, or to their city. and their duty to Creator or to the spirit of the land is hardly there. Yeah. And that's wrong. You know, where at the end of a human being's life, it's not going to be how good of a Canadian you were. It's going to be how good of a human being you were. You can be both, you know. You can be a good human being and be a great Canadian. And that's possible. And I'm sure there's many millions of people who are both. But it's also a fact that some people see their duty to Canada as something that means oppression of the indigenous peoples. And that's wrong. And there's going to have to be an accounting for that. It's just a fact. Nothing could convince me that is not the case. It was nice to see those people in the canoes just pull up on shore here with their canoes, and it makes me think a lot about the canoe as medicine, because to me the canoe is medicine. The calm body of water is medicine, and whenever you combine the medicine of the canoe and the medicine of the calm waterway, whether it's a lake or a river, it's medicine. It's medicine that a human being could access and become stronger spiritually, and to become calmer emotionally, and to be able to see hope where they didn't see it before they combined the canoe and the water together. And for me, that's a fact. It's no matter the troubles of life, I can heal from it in a canoe. The canoe is a gift Creator gave to the people. Who knows how many, if it was hundreds of years ago or even thousands of years ago. I know the canoe has been in this country for a long, long time. We have legends connected to it. We have teachings connected to it. And they all speak of greatness and about what is fair and what is wrong, nonsense and common sense and purpose and waste. And the canoe has all these teachings. I hear a bullfrog there now too, in alongside the river, and it's when I was a boy, there was many frogs of different varieties, and I guess I've seen them all. And there was bullfrogs. You didn't go very far along the creek, or even the river, that you didn't see bullfrogs. And then all of a sudden they seem to have disappeared. And just in recent years I've started hearing them again. You know, that I find that they sound like somebody that's trying to tune a broken guitar string. And it's pretty funny the way they call out, but it's pretty awesome to see bullfrogs. I haven't seen a great big one like when I was a child. They were huge, you know. It seemed to me they must have been 2 pounds or pretty close to that. And nowadays when you see one, it's maybe half a pound or something. Half the size anyways as whenever I was a kid. You know, I love the different varieties of birds. And a good friend of mine told me one time, he said, if the birds ever disappeared, that human beings would die of loneliness. And I totally accept that. I can't even imagine it. You know, whenever I think of people who are deaf, I feel so sorry for them that they don't hear birds. I hope they do somehow. I know whenever they cross over, and they will hear those songs clearer than we ever did, because the how they were left short because of their inability to hear, they'll be rewarded, and they will hear those things more clearly than us today. It's nice to see people walking and healthy, you know, with healthy minds. You know, that look on their faces that says, I'm at peace. And the river's contributing to that wellness, you know. And these trees, this willow and this oak, and the songs of the birds. If somebody is suffering a heartache or experiencing some kind of a trauma, let them come here to the park. And the city should have more parks, more green spaces. The citizens, no matter the cost, the citizens will heap praise on the politicians or the leaders who say, let us have more green space. Let us take care of the waterways. Let us not pollute those things so that they will be there for our children and our grandchildren and our grandchildren's grandchildren. You know, it's too bad when we live in a world where they say there's right-wing people and left-wing people. What does that really say? Does it say that there's people who hate and there's people who are gracious and accommodating? More should be made. More should be done to make people respect one another, to love one another. And whenever I use the word love, I'm not saying love your neighbor as you do your children or your grandchildren. I'm saying respect them. Respect them for however they are, as long as they're not hurting anyone. Respect them. It's not difficult. It's a no-brainer to me. I could never bring myself to hate anyone. In my entire life, I've never hated anyone. And no matter how old I get, I will never hate. I just can't bring myself to do it. It doesn't make any sense. And it hurts me emotionally to see how quickly somebody could die over somebody else's inability to understand a different culture or a different people. To see somebody who considers themselves somehow superior to another human being. I know one thing. I am not superior to anyone, and no one is superior to me. And whenever I see somebody's actions, and those actions are signaling to me that this person feels they are superior to me, well, then there's a problem. And I don't tolerate it. Because if I accept and tolerate somebody's antics that are like that, well, then I'm pretty much giving them the green light for them to attack my children and my grandchildren just because we have indigenous bloodline. I believe in the church. I see the Anglican Church as a great friend and ally. I consider the Anglicans over the course of time, a passage of time, to find themselves with leadership and with teachings that have opened their minds to accepting that it's going to be a better world if we all get along and all respect each other and honor our differences. The Anglican Church, to me, seems to have done that. And maybe there's other churches too. It's just that I haven't had interaction with them like I have with the Anglicans. So I hope that means something, because I like it like that. I know since my connection with the Anglicans began, it's opened my mind up. I really feel that I've become a better man, a better human being because of the Anglicans. And I hope that their understanding with Indigenous people through stuff I've said or done has done the same thing too, vice versa. Anyways, I hope I've said something today that will be meaningful. And I wish everyone well. Please stay safe, and let's plan what's going to happen after this pandemic is over and done with, which I know is coming soon. Miigwech.